Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The Straits Times Index may still be down by more than 100 points for the month of May, but there's signs of fight back from local stocks in recent sessions that lending hope that the worst may indeed be behind us. But as Singapore prepares to enter phase one of easing recent circuit breaker measures armed with a budget of fortitude, is it safe to come back into the water, especially with signs of geopolitical tensions beginning to show signs of resurging once again? Now, as always, at the end of each month, we speak to Mr. Terrence Wong, the founder and CEO of Azure, on what we've learned and what we can look forward to. Terrence, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm glad to hear you and your family continue to stay safe and in good health during these times. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Hey, JP. Yeah, it's been a month.
You know, and what an interesting month it's been, actually. So we saw the Straits Times Index lose some ground, but things seem to be firming up and forming some support or a form of a support around 2,500. Now, to be fair, we're not really moving so much beyond this particular level, and things may not get better for a while, but could the converse also be true, or the other side of the coin be true, that maybe things won't get any worse, and can we take some comfort from that, do you think?
Well, JP, I wish I can say that, but I really can't. You're right, the markets appear to be surprisingly resilient in the face of all the bad news that you see out there. World economy seems to be crumbling, and you know there's a lot of bad news with unemployment and stuff. But it is reopening, and I think that a lot of investors are finding consolation that, and very, very hopeful that we're going to see a V-shaped recovery, a very swift one. And I think in the US, that's why you see, or US and Europe, you see the markets are back on the risk-on mode. And I think this is also largely due to cheap money out there. There's loads of cheap money pouring in trillions of dollars into the system. And that is why you see investors brushing aside the negative economic data that I was mentioning about, you know, the record unemployment figures, the very, very rough earnings season. And I think that we are not paying enough attention to the increasing tensions between US and China, especially on a trade front. If you recall what happened in 2018 when Donald Trump first fired that salvo, Asian bosses really got hit almost immediately. I remember that was in March 2018. Mm-hmm. US didn't really follow suit till in October 2018. But I think that this trade issue is something that we need to focus a lot more attention on. And I think that when reality sets in that the global economy will not snap back to life, you know, despite the immense support from the central banks, I think the stock markets will start to react to that.
In fact, Terrence, it almost seems as if those trade tensions we saw last year felt a little left out and decided to make a comeback this year, but piling on top of that COVID-19 pandemic uncertainty. But the latest flashpoint, it seems a lot of this is starting to concentrate around Hong Kong, and it sent tremors across the region, this new securities law that's been laid out on Hong Kong. You talk about resurgent trade tensions suddenly appearing once again. What type of negative spillover could this mean for markets? Because when you look at the plate of possible flashpoints for U.S.-China tensions, you've got the current case against the Huawei CFO. You have the issues out in Hong Kong and also some of the human rights violations that the U.S. is alleging. Where do we start and how do we begin to quantify the potential downside from this?
I see a risk mounting for the Hong Kong's economy as well as the stock market. I know the announcement of this, like you mentioned, the announcement of the legislation last week really rattled the markets, particularly Hong Kong. And that had some spillover impact on the rest of the region. And this particular move by China actually generated a lot of criticism from foreign governments, particularly the US. And that is why tensions have increased, have come to a fall and have like increased tremendously over this period of time. And that's why I believe that, you know, Hong Kong will be heavily impacted. And that's not good for the region. As I mentioned there, we often fall in sympathy with Hong Kong. And given that our economies are very, very intertwined, we think that this will have a big impact on the market. And we don't know the full impact yet, right? I mean, we are talking about, you know, US sounding the alarm bells. And if the trade issue does surface once again, that could be many, many, many implications. I mean, like right now, Huawei is crimped because they cannot get their important parts to build, to basically build their products. And China may retaliate, and this will have implications for the likes of some US giants, like Apple.
So what's bad for Hong Kong isn't necessarily is also a weight or a headwind for the region. So is it fair to say that it's not necessarily the case that Singapore, which is also seen as a potential rival to Hong Kong as a financial hub, doesn't necessarily benefit from Hong Kong's woes, such as, say, maybe property inflows or even market inflows to Singapore? Is it actually more downside than upside for Singapore with relation to what's happening in Hong Kong?
There are a couple of ways to look at it. I mean, the first is, of course, if you were to look at the potential inflows from people that are worried, we're already seeing that. I mean, we saw that last year. And through the protest period, I believe that more and more private bankers, the bankers are witnessing like money flows from Hong Kong to Singapore. And I think that that will have a mid to long-term impact on our Singapore financial markets. But also not forgetting that manufacturing is a very, very important part of Singapore, and we have many, many manufacturers that have their facilities in China, and that I believe will be hit, as we've seen in 2018. Many of the guys that manufacture electronic parts, the plastic producers, and a lot of the retail other retail products, they see that there's a clampdown, and the likes of the US and even Japan, they're pulling out the factories, and thus the supply chain will have will be heavily impacted, and all these things I think will eventually like flow down to the companies that are headquartered in Singapore. So there will be some impact, and there will be some positive, there will be some negative impact. But I think in the near term, we're going to see more negatives than positives.
We're still speaking to Mr. Terence Wong, the CEO of Azure Capital, here in MarketView on Money FM 89.3 to recap the month that was. So Terence, I want to shift our attention now to the recent developments here. And though we are preparing for the phase one easing of circuit breaker measures, the economic outlook has now dimmed even more. And it's also been confirmed by the lower GDP forecast last Tuesday. We do know that the government has outlaid a new fortitude budget, about 33 billion Singapore dollars, bazooka that's really launched at the current COVID-19 related crisis, economic crisis here. How crucial is this fortitude budget that now sees Singapore spending more than 19% of their GDP to address the issues right now? Is this going to help markets at least stay afloat overall?
I mean, if you look at the economy, focus is very, very clear. That is to save jobs, to save businesses, and to make the impact on the lives of Singaporeans a lot less severe compared to what it would be if the government didn't step in. And the focus on the three C's that DPM Hing spoke about, cash flows, costs, credit, is really, really, really vital during these very challenging periods. Latest budget probably helps to inject some solace into the real economy and stabilize consumer and business confidence. Sectors that will actually see a boost. I wouldn't say a boost, but sectors that will at least see
get a
some
cushion.
Impact, and be cushioned against it will be the usual suspects. You see guys in the aviation, hospitality, transport, restaurants, entertainment outlets, all of them will at least see some money or cash flow coming through. But if they're not allowed to open, whole point is moot, right? They won't be able to make any money. In fact, they will lose. And in this situation, they will just lose less because the government is coming in with subsidies. And even though, Heng Swee Keat fired, just fired another bazooka, this was largely expected by the market. And hence, if you look at the stock market impact, it has been fairly muted. That will go on with the next few, if there is going to be another round of budget. I think people's psyche, people's expectations is already there that, the government will come in to help businesses, will come in to help people, and therefore it will not have a big jump in numbers or at least the growth in the stock market should they come in with another measure. There will likely be an impact when there is clarity on when the retail and F&B shops are allowed to open and in what form they're allowed to operate their businesses in.
I want to use the your last comments there on the retail and F&B because that also weighs on the property sector here in Singapore. Just before the interview, we were talking about how this is changing consumer habits and even work habits right now. More people working from home, offices possibly looking to keep more employees on a more permanent work from home basis. This could all weigh on property stocks that's seeing pressures from rental rate rebates and also a possible decline in demand for office space, for instance. How is this affecting your view on the property sector, Terrence? And is it palpable, or is it credible to believe that demand for offices may never be the same again?
Okay, I'm thinking from two points. One is the real economy, the real business point of view, and the other one will be stock market. First, the business. If you look at it, and it's true, anecdotally, I've spoken to business owners, both listed, not listed, SMEs. They're really re-looking at the demand or their actual need for big office spaces. They are thinking, you know, the next time they were to do it, this experiment, work from home experiment, is actually working out, or the productivity is not as low as they initially expected. So they are actually very, very open to actually reducing their office space. And this will be bad or negative for commercial landlords, you know, when renewal periods come like 1-2 years down the road. And on the retail front, already they have a very, very heavy, they have been like facing an onslaught from the likes of Taobao, right, and Amazon, and this will continue. In fact, more people are subscribing to this belief that, you know, they can actually like buy stuff off the rack or online. So that will also impact the retail business. That has really impacted the retail business, and that will accelerate the process. So in the mid to long run, the retail guys as well, retail landlords as well as the commercial landlords, will have to do a rethink of their strategy and see how best to actually like alleviate the situation. Right. But on the stock market front, if you look at the way the guys are trading, particularly the big three listed developers, they are trading about 50 to 60% discount to RNAV, and that is like minus two standard deviation, which means that it's rarely seen. I wouldn't buy it right now because I have a negative view on the general market. But should it come off, should the market come off, I will be there eyeballing this particular sector, because I think when the rebound comes, this will be one of the front runners.
Just very quickly, Terrence, as we did mention a while ago, the STI seems to be firming up around 2,500. It's that line in the sand. Do you think this is the time to start dipping back, or should investors remain cautious? What's your advice?
I think if you listen to what I've been saying for the last 5 minutes, I have been pretty negative on the market still. And I think that there are a couple of impediments or potential flashpoints in the market, chief of which, of course, is the geopolitical risk that I mentioned between US and China. That hasn't been fully appreciated by the market. And of course, the rest of them, this may be the black swan that, well, actually it isn't really black swan because it's already out there. People already can see it, but that could bring the markets down. And of course, with the economies opening up, they could bring a second round or second wave of the virus, and that again could impact the market. And I guess right now, because if you look at the index, it is still, the fall has been fairly muted, because we are all hoping that, you know, this is the worst quarter, and in the third and fourth quarter we're going to see a rebound. But if that doesn't happen, we continue to feel the pain, I feel that, you know, that could be another wave down for the market.
Terrence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule today to join us on Market View. And as always, stay safe, and we wish you and your loved ones good health. Have a great afternoon, sir.
Thanks, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.